service, 7:30 p.m. Prayer, Monday through Friday, 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock a.m. Thank you for listening to Johnson Temple Church of God in Christ.
Tell somebody, say, you stand.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Let me hear the worshipers.
You're listening to the radio broadcast of the Mount Triumph Missionary Baptist Church, 720 Millrace Road, Boyce, Louisiana, Pastor Joseph W. Franklin. Sunday school every Sunday morning at 9:45 a.m., worship and the word at 11 a.m., and on third Sunday, the Lord's Supper is observed. Wednesday night, prayer meeting Bible study at 6 p.m., and at 7 p.m., choir rehearsal. You can visit us on the web at www.mounttriumphmbc.com. God bless you.
Sing hallelujah. To our God.
Giving it to the Lord. Amen. Thank God for this choir. Give him a hand again if you will. Thank you, choir. These musicians for ushering us into the presence of the Lord in their song and singing. Amen. Thank you, Brother Fano, for all that you do and how you work so diligently with our choirs. Amen. Always we thank Brother Russell, even in his absence, amen, for the hard work and the labor in our music ministry. Amen. Thank each and every one of you. I know you got barbecue on your mind. Amen. I go all year long. I was getting away from prayer for a minute, but I had to look back at my text again. As a matter of fact, this text this morning not only deals with the pattern of prayer or the model of prayer, but it deals with now how we ought to pray. Amen. And so I'm going to pick up in verse 5. And I'm not going to give you a two-part. I'm going to try to work this out in a few minutes, if you bear with me, all the way to verse 13. Amen. Just hang in here. Two parables that the Lord gives to us. Luke 11, beginning at verse 5. Amen. And he said to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey and I have nothing to set before him. Somebody in there, you know how that feels. Somebody pop up and show up. And he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is now shut and my children are with me in bed, and I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence or importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he also give him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. Amen. Grant the flower of faith, but the word of our God shall stand forever. I want to talk about the persistence of prayer. The persistence of prayer. And I want to use for a subtopic, if you will, yours for the asking. Amen. Yours for the asking. Again this morning, we find ourselves again right back in on the subject of prayer, Brother Mitchell. We've gone through again the model of prayer and what we call the pattern for prayer. We've talked about heretofore the paternity of prayer when we are able now to call God our Father. And then we've talked about the priority of prayer, and that is to reverence God as being a holy God. And then we talked about the program of prayer when we've asked that his kingdom come and his rule, reign, and regulation on the throne seat of our hearts. And then we talked about the plan of prayer that your will be done. We want the will of the Father, the desire of the Father for his children to be done. And then we move our way into the provision of prayer because we've asked for his daily bread. And then we've asked for, and we've seen the pardon of prayer, or as Brother Mitch says, to ask God to forgive us of our sin as we also forgive those who've sinned against us. And then on last Sunday, we saw the protection of prayer, that we would ask him to lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And now we come to the persistence of prayer, because we need to be persistent in our prayers. We need to make sure that we make prayer a daily habit. And not only a habit, but prayer as a way of life. That we are constantly praying. And can I tell you, we live in a time that there's always something to be praying about. There is always something to be praying for. And guess what? It does not tire our Heavenly Father to hear our prayers, because he waits to hear our prayer. Can I tell you, we can't pray enough to wear God out to where he doesn't want to hear our prayer. So here we are to be persistent in our prayer. First of all, this prayer and this section of text takes us to a parable. A parable is an illustrated truth. It is hidden from those who don't believe, but it is revealed to those who do believe. And so this parable is a revelation. It is for the believer to get a hold of this truth that is being revealed. And so it gives us an example or a parable of a friend at midnight. He opens with and says, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. He gives us this revelation. It's a knock at midnight. That's an inconvenient time that one would come out of all the time that somebody knocks at midnight. And I know I live in a culture, and I live here with a people who know about folk who borrow things. Amen. It used to be a time now that somebody could knock at your door and ask for a cup of sugar. Or they could borrow some coffee. Or if they wanted to bake a cake, they needed some flour, they would ask for some flour. But now they want to use they want the telephone. They want the cell phone. Amen. As a matter of fact, the confirmation of this message this morning was my brother-in-law who called early this morning and said, we have a crisis at St. Matthew's. We've got the Lord's Supper and we don't have enough cups to serve the supper. And I said, I didn't tell him, but I told Sister Franklin, I said, you know, that's confirmation of the message. That a friend can impose on you and action you something. That they can come to you even at midnight. And that just lets me know that with God, it doesn't matter what time we call. And he's available even at the midnight hour. It does not matter what time of day it is, but if you are his child, you can come anytime. You can ask and come to him at any time. Now notice again, it's an inconvenience, because one, it's a midnight hour, and two, he said, wait a minute, me and my children, we are in bed, we're going to sleep, the door is locked, the cupboard is shut down. Amen. In those ancient days, whether it was in the heat of the summer or even in the cold of the winter, in those days, the family would wrap up and cover up together. One, if it was wintertime, to keep warm. So we're in bed. You knocking at midnight. You're going to disturb the whole family. And so, but this man is not going to give up. Because the text tells us again, for he says, a friend of mine has come, and it was not good. It was an embarrassment for a friend to come to your house and you not have something to offer. I wish I had a witness. And you know, we still have that kind of hospitality today. If somebody comes, you're going to offer them something to drink. You're going to find something to eat. If it ain't nothing but a piece of bread, a piece of cake, a pie, whatever. To have and not to have something was embarrassing. Matter of fact, it was in our Sunday school lesson, the angels had gone to Abraham. And even Abraham invited them to come in and have something to eat, to put before even the angels before they went to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And so it was a custom to have, it still is. Can you see this man's desperate situation? And I need to tell somebody that even in your desperation, don't stop praying. Even at midnight, when you want to give up, because sometimes you feel like you pray long enough and you pray hard enough, but you still haven't got an answer. We need to understand that God is still listening, and he's still looking, and he's still, Brother Master, leading to hear your prayer. Matter of fact, I need to tell somebody, he wants to know, do you really want what you're asking for? We see the parable of his need, then secondly, we see the persistence of the need because of this man's desperation and his determination, his desire. Notice the text says that even when the man says, we're in bed, the door is shut, he says, I cannot get up and give you. And I say to you, though he will not rise to give because it's his friend, yet because of his persistence, help me somebody, which means that he is persistent. He keeps on at it. He keeps on knocking. He keeps on seeking. He's not going to give up until he gets what he asked for. And it is, as a believer, that's what we must be willing to do. We must keep on asking, knocking and seeking until we get what we're asking the Lord for. It calls for, matter of fact, the word persistent in the Greek is a word for shamelessness, which means to say this man has no shame in his game. It's midnight, and he ain't ashamed. Maybe that's something you need, and you're ashamed to ask for it. But you're God's child. He's waiting for you to ask for it. you say, well, you know what, I'll handle this little small thing, and then I'm going to give the big stuff to God. But then I tell you, even the smallest of things will wear you out. Bible tells us to cast all of our cares upon the Lord, because he cares for us.
Yes.
Brother George still wears the pen that Sister Eddie Coleman introduced to us years ago. And some of you still have those old pens called push. Pray until something happens. And somebody in the audience today, you need to push today. You need to pray until something happens. You need to keep on praying. Don't stop praying. I know you say, well, look, I prayed about this and I prayed this long. And I know maybe it hasn't happened. And maybe you've been praying for a long time and it still hasn't happened. Well, we do know that God does still answer prayer. There are times when he says yes. There are times when he says no. And the door is closed. There's time when he said, wait. And then I found out there's time when he said, wait a minute, I got something better. And maybe you got to wait on God, and you have to wait on God's time. It may not come when you want it, but he's always on time. So push, keep on praying until something happens. You remember in Luke chapter 18 where it says that man ought to always pray and faint not lose heart. And he goes on to tell us in that chapter about a widow, a woman who had an issue with the judge. And that woman wanted to have her case heard. And she was relentless, she was persistent, she was constant, she was continuously going before the judge. He said, wait a minute, unless this woman wear me out, I'm going to give her what she asked for. Well, can I tell you, nothing can wear out God out. Remember, there's something about that man in chapter, that judge in chapter 18. One, he was one who neither feared God nor man. But when you are connected to God, you can wear him out. Help me, somebody. Sometimes you need to wear your knee pads out. Sometimes you need to wear a hole in the place where you call your altar. You need to be persistent in prayer. Not only that, but there's something else in this text that you need to take home with you. And there is the promise for the need. It is right here in verse 9. I'm almost through. It's right here in verse 9. He says, so I say to you, it will be given. He says, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will. That's a promise. You will find. Knock, and it will be opened. That is a promise from the Lord. That in your asking, you ought to ask consistently. In your seeking, you ought to seek continuously. And in your knocking, you ought to knock constantly. You ought to remember that he'll answer. He will give it you. He knows just what you need. He knows just how much you need. And he knows when you need it. Maybe you came in here today and you say, I prayed long and hard, and it still seems that my answer hasn't come. Well, what the text says, keep on asking. Keep it. He's not hard of hearing. Keep on seeking. He's not hard to be found, but keep on knocking, and it will be unto you. Now, I need to say something here parenthetically, because not only do we see the promise for the need, but then we need to see the persons of the need, because he says in the text, everyone. But I need to qualify that, because you need to know that it's every believer. I wish I had a witness here. See, believers ought to know how to pray, and believers ought to know who to pray to. the Son, his Son, Jesus Christ. And then it said, and love one another. Now those out of the 10 hangs these two. That is the love for God and the love for one another. And somehow, in some way, that the reason why many of our prayers don't get answered is because we are in disobedience. I wish I had a way. We refuse to be obedient to what God asks of us. And you remember what he told Israel in Deuteronomy, that obedience brings blessings and disobedience brings curses. Y'all got quiet, maybe. Because one would say, well, God will answer my prayer in all of my situations and conditions. But here, 1 John says we need to be obedient. Because obedience is better than sacrifice. We need to be in line with God's will. Then we see the principle of the need, because he gives us a second supposition. He gives us the number one supposition, or first a parable, but then he goes on to give us another parable. Because he says, if a son asks for bread from any father among you, he puts that on in their corner, he puts the ball in their corner, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will he give him a scorpion? No, a father will not give to a son or daughter that which will cause them harm. What was I have a believer here? A father or a parent will not give to a child that which will hurt them. And so here he puts himself in the place of a father. And he says, because I know you've prayed, and I know you've been praying long enough, but I need you to know that our Heavenly Father knows what's best. God knows what's ahead. I got some folk here who you've been trying to get rich quick, and you've been trying to hit the lottery, helping somebody. And you say, oh, if I win those millions of dollars, I'm gonna do, I'm gonna give God his, helping somebody. I'm gonna bless the church. And let me tell you, if you ain't giving out what God has blessed you with, it's gonna be hard to give. I thought I'd bring y'all with it. It's gonna be hard to give $100 if you get a million. You just gonna see God don't need that much. You know, because God knows what will harm us. God knows what will take us away and lead us down the wrong path. And matter of fact, he even says that in James, that many of us have not because we ask not. And then he goes on in James and says, the reason why we ask, because we want it for our own desire. And so God knows what will destroy us and what will take us out, amen, what will take us off the path. So just like an earthly father, he says, even though your earthly father's being evil, help me somebody, he says, this is the principle, that your heavenly father knows what will hurt you. And I ask you here, what are you asking God for? And do you really want what you asked for? It's yours for the action. Finally, here's the premise that's found that comes to us in verse 13. If then you being evil, he says, since you have the sinful nature on the inside of you, and you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father see, I know he knows that we have our physical needs that we have. And he knows that this physical body, we pray for our healing and still our physical healing. And we pray for our sustenance that God will give us our daily bread. But we need the Holy Spirit. We need the Spirit. He's willing to give us the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit guides us. The Holy Spirit governs us. The Holy Spirit helps to grow our lives. That's what we really need. And the Holy Spirit testifies that we are in the family of God. Which I have a believer. And once you're in the family, you're never out of the family. He wants to give the Holy Spirit. He wants to give eternal life. He wants the Holy Spirit to guide you. He wants the Holy Spirit to enable you. He wants the Holy Spirit to empower you to do ministry. And that's how Jesus was when he began his ministry. The Spirit of the Lord, he said, is upon me, for he has sent me to preach the gospel. He was empowered by the Spirit. He was able to heal the sick and raise the dead. And yet, he was led even out in the wilderness by the Spirit. Oh, brothers and sisters, that's where it is. Because God wants to give the Holy Spirit. And because, God, you are saved, I need you to know that the Spirit is already on the inside of you. Aesthetic tongue or aesthetic language. Help me somebody to attest that I have the Holy Spirit. Oh, I heard Paul tells us in Romans 8 and 9 that you have the Spirit if you have received Christ as your personal Savior. And then Paul went on to say in Corinthians that you can't get any revelation unless the Spirit